Welcome to the podcast for the weekend of July 16, 2021. This week we pray for our nation and its people, for those who trust in Christ throughout the world, and for the spreading of the gospel of Jesus Christ throughout the world. Our first reading is from Jeremiah 23. "Woe to the shepherds who destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, declares the Lord. Therefore, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, concerning the shepherds who care for my people, you have scattered my flock and have driven them away, and you have not attended to them. Behold, I will attend to you for your evil deeds, declares the Lord. Then I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all the countries where I have driven them, and I will bring them back to their fold, and they shall be fruitful and multiply. I will set shepherds over them who will care for them, and they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed, neither shall any be missing, declares the Lord. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, and he shall reign as king and deal wisely, and shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In his days Judah will be saved, and Israel will dwell securely, and this is the name by which he will be called: the Lord is our righteousness." Our second reading is from Ephesians chapter 2. "Therefore remember that at one time you Gentiles in the flesh, called the uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision, which is made in the flesh by hands, remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made us both one, and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility, by abolishing the law of commandments expressed in ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man in place of the two, so making peace, and might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. And he came and preached peace to you who were far off, and peace to those who are near. For through him we both have access in one Spirit to the Father. So then, you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure, being joined together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit." Our next reading is from Mark chapter 6. "The apostles returned to Jesus and told him all that they had done and taught. And he said to them, 'Come away by yourselves to a desolate place and rest a while.' For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. And they went away in the boat to a desolate place by themselves. Now many saw them going and recognized them, and they ran there on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. And when it grew late, his disciples came to him and said, 'This is a desolate place, and the hour is now late. Send them away to go into the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat.' But he answered them, 'You give them something to eat.' And they said to him, 'Shall we go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give it to them to eat?' And he said to them, 'How many loaves do you have? Go and see.' And when they had found out, they said, 5 and 2 fish. Then he commanded them all to sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups by hundreds and by fifties. And taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and said a blessing and broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples to set before the people. And he divided the 2 fish among them all. And they all ate and were satisfied. and they took up 12 baskets full of broken pieces and the fish, and those who ate the loaves were 5,000 men. And the reading for our discussion is from Genesis chapter 42. When Jacob learned that there was grain for sale in Egypt, he said to his sons, "Why do you look at one another?" And he said, "Behold, I have heard that there is grain for sale in Egypt. Go down and buy grain for us there, that we may live and not die." So 10 of Joseph's brothers went down to buy grain in Egypt. But Jacob did not send Benjamin, Joseph's brother, with his brothers, for he feared that harm might happen to him. Thus the sons of Israel came to buy among the others who came, for the famine was in the land of Canaan. Now Joseph was governor over the land. He was the one who sold to all the people of the land. And Joseph's brothers came and bowed themselves before him with their faces to the ground. Joseph saw his brothers and recognized them, but he treated them like strangers and spoke roughly to them. "Where do you come from?" he said. They said, "From the land of Canaan to buy food." And Joseph recognized his brothers, but they did not recognize him. And Joseph remembered the dreams that he had dreamed of them, and he said to them, "You are spies. You have come to see the nakedness of the land." They said to him, "No, my lord, your servants have come to buy food. We are all sons of one man. We are honest men. Your servants have never been spies." He said to them, "No, it is the nakedness of the land that you have come to see." And they said, "Your servants are 12 brothers, the sons of one man in the land of Canaan, and behold, the youngest is this day with our father, and one is no more." But Joseph said to them, "It is as I said to you, you are spies. By this you shall be tested. By the life of Pharaoh, you shall not go from this place unless your youngest brother comes here. Send one of you, and let him bring your brother while you remain confined, that your words may be tested whether there is truth in you, or else by the life of Pharaoh, surely you are spies." And he put them all together in custody for 3 days. On the third day, Joseph said to them, "Do this, and you will live, for I fear God. If you are honest men, let one of your brothers remain confined where you are in custody, and let the rest go and carry grain for the famine of your households, and bring your youngest brother to me, so your words will be verified, and you shall not die." And they did so. Then they said to one another, "In truth, we are guilty concerning our brother, in that we saw the distress of his soul when he begged us, and we did not listen. That is why this distress has come upon us." And Reuben answered them, "Did I not tell you not to sin against the boy? But you did not listen. So now there comes a reckoning for his blood." They did not know that Joseph understood them, for there was an interpreter between them. Then he turned away from them and wept. And he returned to them and spoke to them. And he took Simeon from them and bound him before their eyes. And Joseph gave orders to fill their bags with grain, and to replace every man's money in his sack, and to give them provisions for the journey. This was done for them. Then they loaded their donkeys with their grain and departed. And as one of them opened his sack to give his donkey fodder at the lodging place, he saw his money in the mouth of his sack. He said to his brothers, "My money has been put back. Here it is in the mouth of my sack." At this, their hearts failed them, and they turned trembling to one another, saying, "What is this that God has done to us?" When they came to Jacob, their father, in the land of Canaan, they told him all that had happened to them, saying, "The man, the lord of the land, spoke roughly to us and took us to be spies of the land. But we said to him, 'We are honest men. We have never been spies. We are 12 brothers, sons of our father. One is no more, and the youngest is this day with our father in the land of Canaan.' Then the man, the lord of the land, said to us, 'By this I shall know that you are honest men. Leave one of your brothers with me, and take grain for the famine of your households, and go your way. Bring your youngest brother to me. Then I shall know that you are not spies, but honest men, and I will deliver your brother to you, and you shall trade in the land.' As they emptied their sacks, Behold, every man's bundle of money was in his sack. And when they and their father saw their bundles of money, they were afraid. And Jacob their father said to them, You have bereaved me of my children. Joseph is no more, and Simeon is no more. And now you would take Benjamin. All this has come against me. Then Reuben said to his father, Kill my two sons if I do not bring him back to you. Put him in my hands, and I will bring him back to you. But he said, My son shall not go down with you, for his brother is dead, and he is the only one left. If harm should happen to him on the journey that you are to make, you would bring down my gray hairs with sorrow to Sheol. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. There's a song that Mary sings when she is carrying Jesus in the womb. Really think about the words that she uses from Luke chapter 1. And Mary said, My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent empty away. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his offspring forever. In our current state, we are not eternal, but God is. He knows the grand scope of history, and his plan for this world is a plan reaching over the centuries and the millennia. But as you know, there was a usurper, a fallen angel, took the form of a serpent and lied to Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. That creature's lies and influence reached into every part of the world as the people of this world fled from the Tower of Babel. Whatever the lessons of history are, humanity is so incredibly finite as we live out our lives in this world. Think of the great civilizations that have been buried over the millennia, that have been buried under sands and under jungles. In ancient cultures like those of Greece or Egypt, the serpent is glorified as an enlightener and source of wisdom. I mentioned last week how Pharaoh's crown has a serpent on it. In another region, God visits Abraham and raises him up from nothing and makes him into a great nation. God is going to put this man's descendants up against Egypt. But the paradox is that this people will be humble and lowly. When God gave Israel victory over Egypt 400 years later, the children of Israel. Moses and Israel sang a similar song to Mary. Here's just the first part. We'll share the rest when we get to Exodus from chapter 15. Then Moses and the people of Israel sang this song to the Lord, saying, I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider he has thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. This is my God, and I will praise him, my father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. The serpent's influence may spread throughout the world. It may creep into the governments of the world, into the governments of the mightiest rulers, but they are all mortal. God is infinite, eternal, almighty. But he allows the weeds to grow with the good crops until the harvest. Everything will unfold in his time. Much like God allowed a plant to grow over Jonah's head and then allow that plant to get eaten by a worm in the book of Jonah for Jonah's instruction, so God allows Pharaoh to be raised up with the help of God's people. And then when the Pharaohs forget Joseph a few hundred years later, God is going to bring Egypt down. And it will be devastating. Anyone who knew the greatness of Egypt would see God's mighty hand in its downfall. Tim Mahoney looked for the historical Joseph in his film Patterns of Evidence. We don't know exactly the name of Joseph's Pharaoh. Isn't it interesting that the name of Joseph's pharaoh is forgotten? Scripture has lasted, and the inscriptions in history of the pharaohs were buried under the sands. Through archaeological investigating, David Roll came to the conclusion that the pharaoh of Joseph may have been Amenemhat III. Roll is featured in Tim Mahoney's film Patterns of Evidence. Amenemhat III's statue shows a stern face with ears directed outward to listen to the concerns of the people. While there were other regional rulers in Egypt, God allows this ruler to have two dreams and to learn from Joseph's interpretation of those dreams that Egypt is going to have 7 years of plenty, followed by 7 years of famine that will devastate the land and the surrounding countries. That is how Joseph's brothers and father are going to end up in Egypt. When Jacob learned that there was grain for sale in Egypt, he said to his sons, "Why do you look at one another? Behold, I have heard there is grain for sale in Egypt. Go down and buy grain for us there, that we may live and not die." This whole scenario was planned and known by God. As Joseph said of the two dreams in a row that Pharaoh had, it meant that the event was fixed by God. However, history could have gone. There was always going to be a time when his people would end up in Egypt, and Joseph's brothers were going to get grain, and that is the beginning of everything. Joseph could have done much worse things to his brothers when they showed up. He could have snapped his fingers and had something done to them. That was not according to Joseph's wishes, nor was it according to God's. But he wants to ensure that he will get to see his youngest brother, the one to whom he was most closely related. They were born of the same mother and father. It was going to cause a terrible conundrum for his brothers. The pain of it all was killing their father Jacob. Jacob, their father, said to them, "Yet bereave me of my children. Joseph is no more, and Simeon is no more, and now you would take Benjamin. All this has come against me." Remember that Joseph kept Simeon. Reuben promised on the lives of his sons that he would bring Benjamin back. Jacob was still unconvinced. He said that it would kill him if he didn't bring Benjamin back. It is in this famine that Pharaoh would be raised higher than all the other rulers of Egyptian provinces. They would all become subject to Pharaoh. The peoples of neighboring lands would all find themselves under Pharaoh because God had prepared for this to happen. It is a later Pharaoh's fall, 400 years later, which will bring the complete downfall of Egypt and in which God would bring out his people out of the slavery and death of Egypt. The action of God in this event is a type, a foreshadowing of even bigger things to come. The entire world has lived under the heavy hand of sin, death, and the devil. It is the struggle of this world. Yet, God sent a new Moses, the light in the darkness, Jesus Christ, to bring out his people, all who believe in him, from under the power of sin, death, and the devil. Through his death on the cross, he would become the sacrifice to cover and pay for all sin, and to end the subjugation of mankind. It is only for humanity, every man, woman, and child, to take hold of what Christ freely offers. Christ has died for all. We may resist this work by our own doing, but where we don't, where God's Holy Spirit works freely, he brings faith, and faith in Christ means life. Not just freedom from sin, death, and the devil in this world, but freedom from sin, death, and the devil for all eternity. Jesus gives us a new inheritance of life which lasts forever. Will you pray with me? Lord Jesus, you have always been with us, caring for us, and we pray that in our lives we would recognize your grace and mercy, that you would help us to live according to your will and follow your ways. We pray it in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen. We continue with additional prayers. Lord Heavenly Father, we pray that you'd be with our nation and its people. We pray that you would guide us through these difficult times and help us ever to trust in you, to remember that you are above all, no matter what happens in our country, in the world. And we pray that you would be with those who trust in Christ throughout the world and continue the spreading of the gospel of Jesus throughout the world, that more people may continue to hear and be freed from subjugation to death, the devil, and the world. We pray that you would comfort us with your presence, God, and guide us through all the times to come. We pray it in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Now the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. The verse for this week is an important one from Mark chapter 6, where Jesus feeds the 5,000. The people had recognized Jesus and were following even by foot around the water as Jesus went on the boat. And when he arrived, it says, when he went ashore, he saw a great crowd and he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things. That's verse 34, Mark chapter 6, verse 34. All of our readings come from the English Standard Version of Scripture.
The night will soon be ending. The dawn cannot be far. Let songs of praise ascending now greet the morning star. All you whom darkness frightens with guilt or grief or pain, God's radiant star now brightens and bids you sing again. The one whom angels tended comes near a child to serve. Thus God, the judge offended, bears all our sins deserve. The guilty need not cower, for God has reconciled through his redemptive power all those who trust this child. The earth in sure rotation will soon bring morning bright. So run where God's salvation glows in a stable's light. As old as sin's perversion is mercy's vast design. God brings a new creation, this child its seal and sign. Yet nights will bring their sadness and rob our hearts of peace. And sin in all its madness around us may increase. But now one star is beaming whose rays have pierced the night. God comes for our redeeming from sin's oppressive might. God dwells with us in darkness and makes the night as day. Yet we resist the brightness and turn from God away. But grace grace does not forsake us, however far we run. God claims us still as children through Mary's infant son.